You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Here's your host, Dave Baum.
Ah, we're back again. And thank you for joining us on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Fact of the matter is, everything's these days centers around money, doesn't it? The economy, are we in a recession? Aren't we in a recession? If you think we're in a recession, raise your hand. Absolutely, that's what I thought. Or you kind of think we're in a recession. Maybe not there yet, but we're getting there quickly. It's kind of like coming down a ski slope after having taken one lesson and trying to figure out how you're going to stop. And you know, the answer is the only way you're going to stop is if you fall down, because you really don't know how to snowplow and bring yourself to a stop. That's kind of like the economy we're in, isn't it? It's like, how do we stop this? We're coming downhill. We're coming down slope. It's pretty slick, like the weather in most of the country these days. And the issue is, how do we stop? Well, today's show centers around the value of money. And we're happy that you're here. First of all, simply said, if you want to join us as a caller, our number on the Dave Baum Show is 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. And it's toll free, so it doesn't cost you anything. 888-GO-FOR-IT. That's easy to remember. 888-GO-FOR-IT. If you're listening internationally, and this show is heard in more than 80 countries and 2,500 cities, our number internationally is 011-847-470-0937. Internationally, 011-847-470-0937. We thank you for calling. We thank you from the beginning for listening, because the popularity of this show continues to grow. And we appreciate that. Tell your friends about it and join us, either in an archived way, because every one of these shows is archived, so if you miss a portion of any show, you can always tune in, or the live variety. And this is the live variety. So as I said, everything these days centers around the value of money. Are you saving enough? Are you paying too much? Are you being paid a fair wage? Are you being screwed because you're in the wrong industry or business? When products and services keep going up with no sign that you're getting any more for your money. And here's the topper. When businesses run by government are outstripping the private sector in salary and benefits. Did you ever figure you'd see that? Well, maybe you saw it in the past, but did you ever figure in today's economy that you'd see the day when businesses run by government? What do I mean by that? You're working for local government? You're working for state government? You're working for the Fed? Well, if you are, you're outstripping the private sector in salary and benefits. It's time to take a look-see at what's going on. Our show today looks at public versus private. Who's doing better and why? The post office. Is it time to privatize it? That'll come up a little later. And the company that made a cup of Java a big deal in the United States. A guy whose life literally was saved by Cafe Grande, whatever that means. And the beginning to the end of a company that's got some business problems. That comes later. But first, the issue on the Dave Baum Show is the issue of government employees being paid more than those in the private sector. We used to laugh at that, didn't we? Oh, who do you work for? You work for local government? Okay. Union, non-union, get your 3-, 4-, 5-year contract. The union negotiates, you get a percent and a half, 2, maybe 3% a year. You get some benefits, you get a retirement. Now all those things are looking better. Government employees being paid more than the private sector. Our first guest on the Dave Baum Show is Ken McDonald. Ken is Program Director of the Nonpartisan Employee Benefit Research Institute of Washington, D.C. Ken, welcome to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dave.
Tell me about the background, the research that was done into what we'll be talking about, some of the conclusions between public versus private.
Well, there were two data sets that were used in this study that we did. Both come from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. One was an annual survey that they have conducted looking at participation in benefits. And the second one is the survey they have called Employer Costs for Employee Compensation. And what that looks at is how much does it cost an employer per dollar, per hour worked, to have an employee, their wages and salaries plus their benefit.
Mm-hmm. And who were the people that were part of the study? I mean, who did you reach out to?
The BLS goes to a random sampling of establishments. So, and they're sampled all across the country. So it is a randomized national sample of establishments. And they define an establishment as any unit that employs more than one individual.
Now, this is not the first time that this type of survey has been taken, is it, Kent?
They've been doing the participation survey since 1980, and the employer cost for employee compensation is since about the mid-1980s.
Okay. Let's use the jumping-off point, 1980. In the last 27 or so years, what has been the trend that these surveys have shown?
Well, on participation, you've been seeing, particularly in the private sector, a steady decline in participation in benefits. In the public sector, there has been somewhat of a decline, but not nearly as steep as it is in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as costs go, you've been seeing a steady increase. And there have been spikes in, for instance, the cost for health insurance for both public and private sector employers did spike up in the middle of, or actually at the beginning of this past decade, when everyone's prices kind of shot up for healthcare costs.
Used to be said, kind of a way, Ken, and I'm making a glittering generalization here, used to be said if you were talking to somebody and you asked them, what do you do? I work for the city. I work for the state. I work for the federal government. So immediately you drew a picture of a civil servant who had a certain rating, who got a certain pay, was in a certain pay grade, would move up one or two scales depending upon efficiency or not, would get a pension after so much, but basically non-creative, just there. It's kind of like Washington, D.C., present company excluded. If you're a civil servant, doesn't make any difference to you who the president of the United States is. You're going to be there no matter what, right?
There were civil servants tended to keep their jobs for a long period of time. That's another reason why you'd find their compensation costs are higher.
So there used to be kind of like a joke with those people in the private sector. If it's kind of what I'm doing a long way around. It's kind of like, wow, you work for government, huh? Now what you're saying is, or what the study is saying is, wait a minute. State and local government workers are seeing pay gains and doing a heck of a lot better than private, huh?
On an average basis, yeah.
Let's talk.
There are reasons for that.
Okay.
One you just highlighted, long tenure. And it's been well documented that the longer your tenure is with employer, the higher your compensation costs are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, what you alluded to earlier, is unionization rates. It's well documented that unionization rates have been declining for the past 20 years in the private sector, while they've been holding fairly steadily in the public sector.
Why do you think? I mean, postal union, federal service employees, teachers' unions, why have they been holding steady, and in the private sector, the UAWs of the world and others have seen decreased membership?
Part of the thing is that when you look at, in the private sector, the outsourcing phenomenon, and prior to that would have been the relocation of factories from the United States into Mexico or into China.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't outsource a fireman or a police officer.
You know, that,
you can't really outsource.
You know, that's a great point, that globalization, the whole nature of globalization has had absolutely little or no impact on people who work for government, has it?
their jobs are such that there are local services that are essential for the community, and that's one of the reasons for them existing in the first place.
Mm-hmm. They said long tenure. Obviously in the private sector for a long, long time, and we seem to constantly talk about that on this show, people used to work for one company for 20, 25, 30 years. Get a belt buckle or a pen and pencil set and go off into the sunset. But today, that's changed in the private sector, but not so in the public sector, has it?
Well, in the private sector, you have a far greater ability, far more prevalence of being able to maneuver around, a lot of job mobility. People are far more likely to leave one employer to go to the next.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the phenomenon of having long tenured employees, where it used to be you were there for 25 or 30 years. There were some like that, but that's pretty much of a myth. There's always been this great deal of movement within the private sector. Now, again, public sector employees, again, they tend to be very specialized. Again, I highlight the example of police officers and firemen. Those two are professions where you have to have a great deal of dedication to do that job, and you're not going to be moving around as much as you would in a private sector. Secondly, you look at another type of job, judges. Again, not much job mobility going around in the judiciary as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these positions are really set up, they don't lend themselves to mobility, as to where if you're a tech person, you could maneuver around from all the various tech companies that have come and gone in the past 20 years, and you're able to increase your compensation by making these big leaps when you go from one employer to the next.
I'm listening to you cite some of this information from these surveys, and what I'm beginning to hear is two particular categories. Who can you do without, and who can't you do without? Seems to me that what's really happened here very quietly over the years is the people we're talking about basically in the public sector are people we can't do without. We're in the private sector, despite all the yammering about we've got to have great people in order to be passionate and innovative and make more profit for our shareholders. They've been the ones in the private sector who have done without. So it's can't do without versus can do without, isn't it?
Not necessarily. I mean, you an employer in the private sector can't do without their key employees. One thing the private sector employers have realized is there is a thing called institutional memory.
Mm-hmm.
So private sector employers do want to have long-tenured employees, particularly if you're working at customer service capacity, which just about every private sector employer does. Institutional memory is very valuable, and not only that, it's very valuable for when dealing with external clients or customers, depending upon your business.
If you're just joining us on the Dave Baum Show, and we welcome you in, our guest is Ken McDonnell. Ken is Program Director of the Nonpartisan Employee Benefit Research Institute of Washington, D.C. The issue is government employees being paid more than those in the private sector. And you're saying, huh? Yeah. There's information here to back this up. If you want to join us with a question or comment, it's 1-888-463-6748. Let's talk about the major gains, Ken, in a comparison of hourly compensation, including dollars and benefits. How would you compare the public versus the private?
Benefit cost. That's the one to look at. In public sector, one of the main reason why their compensation costs are higher is because their benefit packages. You will still find in the public sector that the prevalence of defined benefit plans is far greater than in the private sector. You'll also find that the healthcare benefits are far richer in the public sector as opposed to the private sector.
Again, why are the benefits, let me ask you, why are the benefits greater? Are there some reasons?
Utilization rates being higher in public sector is a key factor. In addition to that, the public sector has a whole nother layer that the private sector does not have to bother with at all, and that is a political realm. If in a negotiating process in a state, the union is not happy with the outcome of the negotiation, they can always turn to their state legislators or the governor to try to put political pressure on to then get higher compensation costs.
Okay, so benefit costs are much better than in terms of how much you shell out of your wallet in the public sector versus the private sector. Any dollar figures per hour that this survey points out?
I'd have to go look those up for you, Dave.
Okay. I'm hearing something like, as I recall, something like total compensation, dollars and the benefit costs you're just talking about $39.50 an hour for public versus $26 and a few pennies here and there private. A pretty large disparity of about $13 an hour on the public side in terms of total compensation. Would that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did this start happening, Ken? And how has it snowballed? Where did you see the beginning of this happening?
This is not a new phenomenon. That it's important to remember that this has always been a trend. And again, everybody who works, anybody who's gone to utilize the services at their state and local government has realized that, wow, I always tend to deal with the same person at this agency all the time. This is not a new phenomenon. And that's one of the other issues. We tend to think this may have been something new that creeped up on us. It didn't. It's always been there.
I think it's fascinating because the assumption has always been that the private sector, because of globalization and other issues that we've talked about before, has far outstripped the more mundane public sector, which has basically remained the same and in some cases rather moribund. Teachers have always complained about they deserve more money, but they always wind up getting a 2, 3, 4, 5 year deal at whatever level of education they teach in. And interestingly enough, I think with respect to education, there are so many stories, Ken, about principals and superintendents retiring early and making a ton of money for work they allegedly never did.
I wouldn't be able to comment on work they allegedly never did, but the defined benefit plan formula could ease them in a situation where they may be able to retire early and have a good retirement package. Private sector has done this for years as well when they had their defined benefit plan. When a corporation was experiencing a downward cycle in the business plan, one of the ways that they were able to reduce their workforce was offer early retirement incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change the formula on the DB to sweeten the pot so that some of these employees that are close to retirement will take the incentive now. One of the things to keep in mind is when you've got an employee who's close to retirement, they're part of the highest compensated employees. When you move them off of your payroll and they're being paid from the DB plan, that lowers your overall compensation cost.
Ken, is the answer in what we've talked about so far that if you're looking for a job, you're just out of college and you're looking for a job and you want a safe bet, underline safe bet, the bet is in the public sector because of what you've already said?
Hands down, yep. If you want a safe bet.
Whoa.
And this has always been known, by the way. I can recall when I graduated from college in 1988, same thing was told to me. If you want a safe bet, get a job within the federal government, or I grew up in Chicago, which is the city of Chicago or state of Illinois.
Uh-huh. Fascinating, because you just think. And when I say you, I'm talking generally. You just think, and we're so wrong. You just think that if you're going to pursue your dream is not in the public sector. Your dream is in the private sector. The private sector. That's where the entrepreneurship is.
And it is.
But in these kind of like bizarre times we're living in economically, if you're working in the public sector, you're in a heck of a lot better shape, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, there's other issues.
Wow.
Depends on where you are in the cycle. And young people, they tend not to think like in the benefit realm too much. They're thinking more, give me my wage and salary. They're thinking immediate cash. As folks get older, they start to come to value all of these benefits that the employer tends to be offering. So you'd find them wanting to go into a public sector employment. The other thing, it's not that easy to get a job in the public sector.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, you never tried it, have you, Dave?
No. I would never have thought of applying for a job in the public sector. It's almost as if a pig feeding from the same trough over and over and over again. No creativity, nothing unique. You can't step out of the circle. Am I wrong?
No, public sectors can offer all of that to you. It just depends upon what you're looking for and where you want to go. You're trying to tell me that a fireman or a policeman doesn't have any creativity and or excitement on his job, nor a judge? Now, a sanitation worker, granted, probably doesn't have much creativity, but there's a lot of other avenues in which you can pursue if you're a dynamic person in the public sector.
Well, in some cases, I mean, you mentioned judges, in some cases in the main, being made a judge is being made on the basis of what political party you're in, based upon where you live and where you grow up and how much work you did for that party. So basically, we're really not talking about, in many cases, creativity, are we? We're talking about service.
But they still had to show some talent, some impetus, and
right.
Have at least a law degree, too,
right,
to be able to be a judge.
Okay. When you were in college, you were getting ready to graduate.
Yep.
And obviously, you had a choice between public and private. Was there that much attraction to you and your friends to the public sector?
Yeah, remember, I moved to Washington, D.C. One of the reasons why I do not have a job in the public sector with the federal government is the amount of time it took to get a job. From the time you fill out this application and go through an interviewing process, it can take months. Private sector, if they like you, they can hire you right then and there,
mm-hmm.
if you meet all the job specifications that they're looking for. So, one of the underlying things that I come back to, it's far harder to get a job in the public sector.
What's also interesting in our conversation with Ken McDonald, who is the program director of the Nonpartisan Employee Benefit Research Institute of D.C., as we talk about government employees being paid more overall, we're talking about cash and benefits, than people in the private sector, is when you really take a look at the comparison of the two every day. Every day you read about corporations that are laying off people for whatever reason. Obviously not doing well in a particular quarter, and so people are laid off. And if you're in a recession or going into a recession, there's a tendency that you want your bottom line to look better by laying off people and saving money versus the public sector. You don't read very often about governments imposing similar layoffs, do you?
No. And not only that, a company can go bankrupt, which has happened. Studebaker was a stellar example of
that. Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of the federal government going bankrupt?
No.
Right.
No.
Pretty much the public sector employees are backed up by the good faith and credit of the agency that's employing them,
wow.
The public agency, and they have an unlimited resource.
At any level of government, local, state, federal government. You can be a teacher, for example. You can be inept, working in a school in which you don't teach kids anything. The school can be closed. You're probably going to be transferred either back to headquarters or wind up in another school, and you'll still get paid. That wouldn't work in the private sector, would it?
No.
Wow. Wow. So few governments then
more likely to transfer you around.
It's a
very cumbersome process to lay someone off out of the public sector.
How about limiting benefits of state workers and all of this information that's been compiled? There have to be some conclusions being reached. How about limiting benefits of local or state or even federal workers? Is that feasible? Increase their work hours?
It's feasible. One of the ways to go about it, in certain states, what the state will allow is for the localities to purchase into the state plan. So, for example, if you're a small town down in central Illinois, you may have the ability to participate in the state of Illinois' pension plan. This would reduce your cost for the locality, which would probably be too expensive for them to offer a retirement benefit overall. So
mm-hmm.
There's ways you can work around reducing your costs without necessarily laying people off.
How about pushing back early retirement for people in the public sector?
Some plans are able to do that, adjust around. Some states have also looked at options believe it was just a couple of years ago, Governor Schwarzenegger wanted to convert the defined benefit plan out there into a defined contribution plan. That was the proposal he made.
Uh-huh.
Over the years in the 90s, similar proposals came out of Michigan and Florida as well. Another thing that the federal government did back in the early 80s is they took the defined benefit plan and reduced the benefit in that defined benefit plan, created a new plan, and introduced a 401k type plan called the Thrift Savings Plan. This reduced the federal government's overall cost for retirement while not necessarily reduced the defined benefit plan benefit, but compensated for that with the Thrift Savings Plan.
So basically, based on the information that you guys take a look at, compile, and then draw conclusions to, I made a mistake many years ago by getting into the private sector and staying there, because these days, if I'm looking for firm pension benefits and I'm looking for a continual rise in where I am professionally, I may have made the wrong choice by going private. Maybe I should have gone public.
Could have. When did you enter the private sector?
Oh, a long, long time ago, Ken.
So it's
too late for me, but I could have retired many times over and have started another career.
You could have, yeah.
Oh, man. So what you're saying, as we wrap it up, for security, the best jobs are no longer in the private sector.
If you want security, and we're stressing if you want security, that's the way to go, a rich benefit package.
Ken McDonald of the Employee Benefit Research Institute of Washington, D.C., thank you for your time this morning on TalkZone.com. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Bet. All right. Is that a surprise? It is to me. I mean, I'm sure you have friends, associates, whatever, and maybe they're civil servants. They work for the government. They work for local government. And you say, well, there ain't nothing creative about that. They're going to be there forever. They're stuck. They're working for state government. With the exception of X number of jobs, they're going to be here regardless of who the governor is. And if you're working for the federal government, it don't make any difference if it's a Republican or a Democrat who's elected president. Civil servants still stay there. As it turns out, better deal by being public than private. Remember, that's all you used to talk about when you were in school, the publics versus the privates? Well, now it's all about jobs. Speaking of jobs, how about the post office? Are you satisfied with their service? Are you satisfied with what they give you? Are you satisfied with the increase in rates? Seems almost every year. How about privatizing the post office? Since we're just coming off a public versus private conversation, let's privatize the post office. We'll do that next on the Dave Baum Show. Stick around.